This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Well, good day to everyone. We'd like to welcome you to HeartWise, and we have some interesting questions that have come into our website today. And for those who want to know how we generate our programming, well, you generate the program by sending us questions to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. And we plan to answer them every week right here on air with you. And if you have a question, just go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, and we'll either get a specialist or look up to your answer. Because right now in healthcare, it's hard to know whom or what to believe. You know, read something on the internet or see a commercial about it, or even go see your doctor, you're not quite sure. Well, we are not trying to sell anything. We're not making a buck here. We just want to give you solid information, letting you know that there's a place for modern medicine. There's a place for lifestyle. But at HeartWise, we also want everyone to know that's that relationship with the Heavenly Father that's so important. And today we have joining us on our program, Nick Evanson. And Nick is the Development Director at HeartWise Ministry. Nick, we want to welcome you here today.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dr. Markham.
Well, you look pretty healthy, Nick, you know?
Yeah, you know, I try and stay active and eat what's right, and I probably need to exercise a little bit more and eat a little bit less at times.
But, now, you do a lot of biking, don't you?
Yeah, biking is by far my favorite exercise.
You know, that question comes in a lot about the best exercise. You know, I'm just happy to get people moving in general. But there seems to be on the cardiovascular system a great benefit for people doing what we call interval training. You know, go up the hill, 6 minutes fast, go down the hill, 6 minutes show, catch your breath. It's that changing speeds that seems to really help the cardiovascular system.
Yeah.
How often do you get biking and get outdoors?
You know, we try and go ride bikes at least once a week, but sometimes we get out two or three times. And we do a variety. Sometimes we're on mountain bikes, sometimes we're on road bikes. And I find that the interval training really does help a lot. And it's also a great activity because it's easy on my joints.
Yeah, it's good for the joints. And, you know, an interesting story the other day I had, I worked in the hospital yesterday, and I heard this story of a guy that's very healthy that had a condition called supraventricular tachycardia. That's where his heart goes really fast. Well, he was up on a mountain somewhere and he did this. And when you do this, your heart goes about 180 to 200 and it doesn't fill up and you lose blood pressure. You know, what do you do in the middle of the mountain? You know, you can't really fly in. You know, it's hard to haul someone down the hill. So if you have health problems and you're an athlete, you really have to do some planning ahead.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
Have you ever had anyone on our bike ride that breaks anything or hurts anything?
You know, actually, a couple months ago, I was out riding here locally, and we came up on somebody who had just had a crash and had spine problems before, and she kind of landed on her head a little bit, and so we took real precautions with her, but there were some people there that had some medical training as well, and so she took it real easy and got up slowly after being checked out, and she was okay.
Well, some of the issues I see is that, you know, is if you do have an accident on top of a mountain, how do you get that person down? You know, is there some type of stretcher device you can, you know, wheel them down on? Because you don't want to carry someone sick down when you're up high in the mountain. But a couple keys, whenever you're exercise, you want to be prepared. Make sure you're hydrated. Make sure you have good clothing, you know, the basic string, rope, so you can make things if you need. If you need to make a stretcher or something, some sheets where you can sort of make a quick stretcher in case one of your parties were to get sick. So all these things were interesting. Well, anyway, this guy had this rhythm and he was passing out. And luckily, he went back into rhythm. But if he would have stayed out of rhythm, he could have had his blood pressure go low for several hours. They couldn't fly a helicopter in. They would have had to bring him down. And when you have low blood pressure for several hours, your kidneys and other organs can be damaged. So he was coming up with a plan. He loves to cycle. And part of the reasons he went into this rhythm was probably because he was overdoing it. And you can overdo exercise. You make too much adrenaline, especially when you're dehydrated, and too much adrenaline can sometimes trigger these funny heart rhythms. Well, we have collected a lot of questions that we want to get to today on HeartWise. So, Nick, why don't you read us our first question from one of our listeners?
Yeah. Well, you know, I know so many people these days that are on medications for one thing or another. And one of our listeners writes, I take a lot of over-the-counter medications. Okay. Are there any of those that could harm me?
Okay. Well, Nick, I don't know if you know, but over-the-counter medicines are basically medicines that anyone can buy. And it's not only at the drugstore anymore. Over-the-counters can also include internet medications and any medicines that's being passed from person to person. Sometimes we see people borrowing medicines from other people. I see that more than I'd like to. Mm-hmm. But anything you put in your mouth could have a chemical reaction. And so there's at least two or three what we really need to talk about that could potentially be dangerous. Well, have you heard of this term methamphetamines? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they're actually they can be made from certain things that are over-the-counter, these things called ephedrine-like products. And ephedra is a stimulant, and it helps change the blood vessel size in a lot of these decongestants we see it. So look at that and see if you see this word pseudoephedrine. Pseudoephedrine is a stimulant that can make your heart race. We also have this chemical called ephedra in many over-the-counter diet pills. A lot of the energy drinks that you see, they give you so much energy and turn you around because they're basically low-grade speed. Mm. So if you can take enough of this ephedra or enough of the energy drinks and enough of this decongestants, you're literally giving yourself amphetamines. And amphetamines are addicting. Amphetamines can cause dangerous heart rhythms. A lot of people put them in weight loss medications because it helps them lose weight. There was a pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles a few years ago named Belcher, and he was taking a lot of these pseudoephedrine type things, and he developed a dangerous heart rhythm, and that was the cause of his death. So these rhythms can be dangerous, especially a lot of people don't say, well, if I take a little bit, I can get away with it. So look, if you're taking the over-counters with ephedrine or pseudoephedrine, that is something to be very concerned about. Now, another one that people don't think very much about is Tylenol, acetaminophen.
Really?
But the number one cause of acute liver failure needing transplantation of a liver in the United States is acetaminophen toxicity. So if you take too much Tylenol, acetaminophen, you can actually damage your liver. Now, you have to take quite a bit of this to damage your liver. There was a story not too long ago about a 18-year-old in Oklahoma that took like 20 grams. You know, normally you take 500, so two of those pills would make 1 gram. So she took like 40 of those pills. And that amount of acetaminophen, which goes through the liver has to digest it. It damaged her liver cells, and she went into liver failure. Now, she was taking this because she had a terrible headache. You know, she wanted that headache to go away, and she didn't know what to do. So she kept popping the pills. And she didn't know that it could potentially hurt her liver. Well, she took that much, she went into liver failure and died. Well, the number one cause of acute liver failure in America now is acetaminophen overdose. And some people take a lot of over-the-counter Tylenol, but they're also taking other medications and things that go through the liver. A lot of people don't realize that things like grapefruit juice goes to the liver. So if you take a lot of grapefruit juice and maybe a cholesterol medicine, which digests in the liver, and then take a lot of acetaminophen, sometimes these substances don't get broken down and the toxins build up and they can damage your liver cells. So that's one thing. Be careful not to take too much Tylenol. Here's a trick question for you, Nick. Do you know what the number one cause of fatal gastrointestinal bleeding is in the United States? The number one cause.
I'm going to guess it's related to over-the-counter medications.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a class called non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, medicines that are in that class. They relieve inflammation for arthritis. Mm-hmm. You might have heard things like Ecotrin, Aleve, the prescription forms of Naprosyn. Well, these are non-steroidals. A few famous ones a few years ago were Celebrex and Vioxx, you know, to help inflammation. Well, these anti-inflammatory medicines also irritate the linings of the stomachs and can cause GI bleeding. The number one cause of fatal GI bleeding in the United States was not gunshot wounds, it was caused by non-steroidal anti-inflammatories irritating the stomach, causing an acute fatal GI bleed.
Something that could be prevented.
Yeah, and these are just three of the over-counters that are very well known about. So, you know, ephedrine, acetaminophen, nonsteroidals, but there are many more that we can talk about. So what I want everyone out there, this person asked, are there things that they could be concerned about? The answer is yes. Look at the labels, see what the active ingredients. Remember, the over-the-counters aren't regulated. And not only this, the things you're buying on the internet, all of these things change our chemistry and can have some tough interactions. We're going to be right back after this break answering more questions, and I hope you learned something about over-the-counters, and we want you all to stay healthy when you're out there and exercising. Nick Evanson are going to be right back after this short break, so stay with us on HeartWise. We'll be right back.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, I was reading a recent poll of men who were asked who they thought was the most influential male in the world today. Number one on the list was Don Draper, a character on a television series. He's not even a real person. Number two was Usain Bolt, an Olympic athlete who many believe defines the true spirit of competition, and President Barack Obama slipped in as number three. This is just another example of how the media has the power to create an influential character, market him as an ideal to the world, and affect the minds of a large segment of the population. That same media is doing the same thing when it comes to telling us how to build and maintain optimum health. Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit HeartWiseMinistries.org. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by HeartWiseMinistries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on HeartWiseMinistries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's HeartWiseMinistries.org.
Welcome back to HeartWise. In the last question, in the last segment, we answered questions on over-the-counters. And over-the-counter medications have to be paid attention to. Specifically, three things we want you to remember today is, remember, look for things that might have ephedrine or pseudoephedrine, which can hurt your cardiovascular system. Be very careful with not taking too much acetaminophen or Tylenol. And if you take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories for aches and pains, be careful to make sure you're not bleeding. So Nick, that's, you know, a lot of people don't realize these over-the-counters. Let's move on to another question from our HeartWiseMinistries.org website.
Yeah, this next question I can relate to. I try and eat well, and I try and exercise and ride my bike so that I don't get overweight.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of new weight loss medications that have been released recently. Could you talk about a few of these, and what is your opinion on this?
Well, that's a question we get a lot from HeartWise Ministries. And if you think about it, right now, 60% of the country are overweight, 30% are obese. All the stress of this system called the endocannabinoid system makes a bunch of chemicals that damage our body. Damages our body, then we need medicines, et cetera, et cetera. So if we can get at the root cause, we're going to be successful. If you look at the ways to lose weight out there, we have gastric bypass surgery, where they bypass your stomach and make it small like a pouch, so you can't eat very much. We have a procedure where they, you know, where they put bands around the esophagus, okay, banding procedures. And then we have all the medicines. And I've been around for a few years now, Nick, and the medicines that we've had things like Fen-phen, a lot of people have heard about that.
Okay.
Fen-phen, they had to take off the market because it was causing heart valve problems. Okay. Then came along another weight loss medication called Meridia. that again had to be take off the market, you know, and all these medications sped up the metabolism. A lot of them have thyroid medications, which again speed up metabolism. A lot of these weight loss have the ephedrine, like we talked about, which speeds up the metabolism. These medicines do help you lose weight in the short term, okay, but they also cause damage and there's some risk. Mm-hmm. There's three new medications that are currently about ready to be released, and people are going to start taking them as miracle drugs to help them lose weight. But if you look back over the track record of weight loss medications, none of them have stayed on the market long. Many of them have actually killed people. So these medications must be evaluated very, very carefully. I don't think they're a medicine that you're going to want to take the rest of your life.
Right.
I think that, you know, they're not something you're going to want to do. So what we try to do as a ministry is we try to promote a healthy way to lose weight. You know, we try to empower people with making changes one at a time, developing a relationship with God that can give you the power to help you overcome some of these habits that we all have. Maybe get out there and start exercising. It might be 1 or 2 minutes a day and then increasing it. It might be eating a little bit healthier, eating more fresh, less big at night. So we promote a more eat less, exercise more, relationship things. We recognize that people are doing these things, but people must know that for everything you put in your body, ask yourself, is this something I want to do the rest of my life to keep weight off, and is it worth the risk? So those are some things I would do. So right now, I'm very suspect of these new weight loss pills. I don't recommend them. I want people to try to do it naturally if they can. Why take a risk of a medicine that we don't know a lot about? But you watch, thousands and thousands will flock to these medications, just like they did to Fenfen and Meridian and some of the other ones, but none of them proved to be around a long time.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that we need to maybe take the route that's not the easiest and do the work rather than just taking a pill for it.
Right. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, that's going to be long term. It's going to be less risk. It's going to take care of our body. And along the line, I think it's going to give us a chance to develop a relationship with a great physician that can help us each day of our lives. And I think that's sort of the long term fix, if you think about it. It
sounds like some good advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to another question.
Yeah. So this listener says, I am having a hard time sleeping. Which sleeping medication do you recommend?
Okay, that's a great question. Sleep problems are a major issue in the United States. Lots of people can't sleep. And I don't know if we had this 200 or 300 years ago, but you just didn't hear about sleeping medications back in the 1700s with George Washington. You just didn't hear about that much. Unfortunately, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, and then we had television and radio and internet and a lot of stimulants that kept us on. So when someone comes to me with a sleep problem, I tell them, first of all, that sleep is very, very important. It's an important treatment for the body to get good sleep, to get good rest. The next thing I say is, well, you know, if you're not sleeping well, rather than take a pill, which really doesn't help you sleep better, just knocks you out. You don't get into that good sleep. It just, they're like knockout pills. They've only been approved for short periods of time, not forever and ever. And they actually affect the cognitive ability that you have, the way you think, Nick. You know, you want to think good, and they sort of cloud you up. And occasionally you hear a story about someone that takes an Ambien. And they get Looney Tunes. I had one guy that took it and took off all his clothes and started walking the middle of the street. It does affect the way your brain thinks, and you never know what you can do. We heard a story of a guy at the Republican National Convention or someone around there that he took some pills and did some crazy things too. They thought he was getting sick. I think that was Tom Brokaw recently that did something like that. But anyway, so I ask people, well, let's find out why you don't sleep well. What's affecting the sleep centers of your brain? And the big items are this. One is there's a condition called sleep apnea where you don't get enough oxygen. That can affect your sleep because you have alarms going off. You make adrenaline that wakes you up because your oxygen goes low. So if you have sleep apnea, get that treated. Stimulants during the day. Caffeine is a stimulant. Alcohol can affect as a stimulant. I had one person that came to me, didn't sleep good, and was taking crack cocaine. As soon as they stopped the crack cocaine, everything got better.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, but the one we see a lot of is caffeine. So some people, the caffeine really acts as a stimulant. They can't go to sleep. Another thing is eating big at night. Again, another stimulant. It forces you to digest. When you're digesting, your body's working on that. You can't rest. Another thing that causes us not to sleep well, believe it or not, is television. Television really? Stimulates, guess what? Your brain.
Mm-hmm.
When your brain's overly stimulated, and some people, the sleep centers don't work well. You can't go to sleep. Your brain's working on that last scene you saw, whether it be a good scene or a bad scene. You can't work on that very well. So we've seen a lot of the sleep problems develop as society's developed. And unfortunately, rather than to get at the cause of the problem, guess what? Let's make another pill.
Yep.
And then the pill can create its own problems. You know, you people, they're drowsy in the morning. They're not thinking good. So guess what? Another pill to get them going. You know, so they never get at the cause. And if they don't get at the cause, sooner or later, the problems develops over and over. So what I encourage people, if you have a sleep problem, look at the cause. Could it be a stimulant? Are you not exercising enough at night before you go to bed? Or is it something related to television? Are you eating big at night? One of these things to do. And then there's lots of other natural things that we can do to help. Including listening to nice soothing music. Some people like to listen to the ocean. Of course, relaxing, reading scriptures, very good. Taking a nice walk, taking deep breaths can help a body relax so it can go to sleep, and removing all these stimulants. And if you practice these things, before long, people are sleeping better. So that's the way I would go rather than go right to the sleeping pill. Now, some people do need a sleeping pill, but it's in the very, very minority.
Yeah. You know, I can kind of relate to this question because sometimes I'll be up and, you know, whether I'm watching a television program or maybe I'm on the internet. Maybe
yep.
I've got my iPad and I'm doing some research, looking into some stuff, maybe a new bike or a camera or something. And then my mind, it stimulates my mind, and I just sit there and lay in bed and I'm thinking about what I was just reading on the internet.
Yep.
And it just, you know, it's not helpful.
It plays over and over and over in your brain. And that way you just don't get it to rest. And also, if you're a student out there and studying, that, you know, if you study way ahead of time, you put it in your long-term memory breaks. If you just do it cram the night before, it's in the short-term memory breaks.
That's
so
right.
You might be able to remember it the next day, but the next week you might not be able to remember it. So I hope that answered their question. I think we have time for one more question today.
Yeah. Our last question today comes from a listener who says, I seem to have many bad health habits. Intellectually, I know what I should be doing, but there is a disconnect with my body. Any suggestions?
Well, I wonder if anyone else out there has that same problem.
Yeah.
You know what, Nick? I think that's a very good question by that listener, and I hope they're listening today because, you know, a lot of people share in that. Intellectually, we know what we should be doing. A lot of people can will themselves into good health. But if you think about it, when you will yourself into doing it just for yourself, you're being selfish about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really accomplishing a whole lot of good. But what I try to tell people is, you know, it's God that gives us the power to change. And everyone changes at different speeds. And they shouldn't get down on themselves, you know, but just really focus on that relationship with God that gives us the power to see what we need to do and to give us the power to do it. And then once we see that God's working with us, pick one thing that you can do well and stick with it health-wise. You know, and it might be not eating big at night or cutting back on caffeine or even cutting back on this. And as you do one thing at a time and you stay with God, He will be faithful to help you with the next step. And He's going to help you. Now, we might not ever be perfect, but we will also have the ability to change things one at a time. And when we do this, we start feeling better. Our chemistry gets better. We realize that we have a God that loves us and wants to help us. Then maybe we won't need some of these sleeping pills we've talked about. We'll maybe rest better. Then maybe we won't need some of these other pills that we think we need for over-the-counter things because we're getting our chemistry back in order. So I want to tell people, you know, if you want to get back in the health, get back into a relationship with the Heavenly Father that gives you the power. Well, we hope you've learned one or two or three things today on HeartWise. We invite you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. Well, we would be happy to answer your questions live on our program. So stay with us each week, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.